You know, we just came through the season of Lent, and pretty much throughout Lent, except maybe a week or two ago, we did not say hallelujah. So I tell you what, some of us are really, really looking forward to this moment to be able to do that. And it's great to be with you as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this Easter season. And you know, one of the things we celebrate is the reality that not only did he rise from the dead a long time ago, but that resurrection to this present moment still makes a difference in your life and my life, if we will let it, if our hearts will be open to that. And so I want to share with you a story today that's a true story about a man and his wife, actually, who allowed the risen Lord to touch their life because they needed him to do it. They needed his touch. Things were falling apart for them, and it really made a difference in their life, and to this day makes a difference in ours as well. He actually ran for his country in the Olympics in the 1930s. He also fought during World War II. He was on a B-24. The plane got shot up a number of different times, which those types of aircraft that happened to them. And on a particular mission, they were going around on a rescue mission, and the engines gave out, and they crashed into the sea. He was actually adrift on the ocean on a raft for 47 days. I was in the Navy on a ship. I can't even imagine what it was like to be on a raft for 47 days in the middle of the ocean, in the Pacific. Sharks all around, being strafed by enemy fighters, hungry. You can't even begin to imagine how hungry they were, how thirsty they were. And then to add insult to injury, of all people to pick them up, the Japanese. And so Louis Zaffarini spent the rest of the war in a POW camp with the Japanese. He was actually tortured and severely abused by a prison guard he nicknamed the Bird. He got back out of the war, came back home, married the girl of his dreams. But the only issue for Louis is he continued to suffer from PTSD. They, of course, didn't have the name or the term at that time, but that's what it was. His wife knew there was an issue when they would go to sleep at night, and later on he would wake up yelling and screaming and in a cold sweat. One night, Louis had a dream that he was strangling the Bird. And after he awoke from the dream, he found out that he was actually strangling his wife, who was pregnant with their child. So Louis was really having a battle with the PTSD. He was drinking a lot, he was chasing women, and his life was just coming apart at the seams. He said, "I began to fall apart, and my wife decided that she wanted a divorce." No surprise there, given all that was going on. You know, the reality in our lives as human beings, whether you have been in a war or not, all of us have been through different struggles in our lives. And the reality is we can leave the war, but sometimes the war doesn't leave us. It remains a part of our lives. I lived in Hawaii for a few years as a Navy chaplain, and there were a number of veterans that were out in the woods. They were homeless. A lot of them came back from Vietnam. They had left the war, but the war never left them. And my heart still breaks for them to this day. And, you know, the reality for Louis is, like a lot of people for whom the war does not leave, he was self-medicating. He was drinking a lot. Other people do drugs, might be sex, might be gambling. Just fill in the blank. We as human beings find a lot of different ways to self-medicate. We're good at it. And we do it because we need to survive. We do it because, like Louis, we just want to numb the pain. The memories are so traumatic and so overwhelming that we just want to get rid of them. I mean, Louis was hardly sleeping at night. He wanted to just go to sleep and forget about it all. And so, you know, he was doing that. I also think the chasing women part was like a fantasy love. For him, the relationship in his marriage really wasn't working out. Also, from the prison camp, with the abuse that he went through, those relationships were horrible. And so what he ended up doing was escaping by a fantasy. That's what people do as well. And that's what we as human beings do. Sometimes early relationships have been traumatic for you. And so you'd rather fantasize about something that's imaginary rather than really entering into a relationship because that is so scary. But I have good news for you here today. I really have some good news. And I pray that you and I would really receive it in the fullest sense that the Holy Spirit wants to impart it to us today. And it's this. God's love heals relationships through reconciliation. That's how the healing comes. If you have a broken relationship, or should I say, if you're a human being, you're not going to heal it by drinking. You're not going to heal it by doing drugs or sex or gambling. You're not going to heal it by fantasy. Relationships are healed through relationship. That's how it's healed. That's how God does it. That's why when God wanted to restore our relationship with Him, He didn't send a philosophy. He didn't send 10 goals that you need to fulfill in order to feel just right. He didn't tell us, you know what, you have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and do it on your own and be successful at works righteousness. He did none of that because none of that would have helped us, and none of it helps us to this day. But rather, He sent His Son because our relationship with the Father needed to be restored. Again, relationships are healed through relationship. It's so simple, and I know you're saying to yourself, duh, Father Joe, but you know what? Look in the mirror later on. Duh yourself, all right? Look in the mirror later on and ask yourself, am I really living into this? And am I really realizing that the only way there's going to be healing for me is in relationship? And so that's why He sent His Son, and that's why the apostles proclaimed a person. It wasn't a self-help book. It wasn't, again, a philosophy. It was a person. We read in Acts today, it was read to us, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power and went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses to his crucifixion. We are witnesses to his resurrection. We read the story today about how Jesus appeared to them. He knew it was going to be hard for them to believe that he had risen from the dead, but it was a very important part of his message that they didn't get. Right? It's said in the gospel today, they still didn't understand what he had said to them, that he was going to be raised from the dead. And so Jesus hung around for a while and showed them, hey, I'm alive, I've risen from the dead, so that you will know. And so that people after you would know, like you and me, that since he's risen from the dead, anything else you and I face, he can take care of. Being raised from the dead is a pretty big thing. I've been to a lot of funerals. I haven't been to one yet where that happened. Okay? It's a big thing. He was the first of many who will, but it's a big thing. And it was a message for us. His forgiveness and his healing presence. And finally, that everyone who believes in him will receive the forgiveness of sins. So you see, our relationship with the Father was broken. We needed to be reconciled with the Father. And so God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. You've heard all this before. And as he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, it was a sign to us of God's approval and anointing upon him as the Messiah of the living God. And so you see, the first relationship for you and I that needs to be healed and reconciled is our relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And as that relationship is healed and made right, then our other relationships will be right. First, the vertical relationship, and then the horizontal relationship. So you've heard this before, but my question to you here today is, what have you done with what you know? What have you done with it? I'd like to get on to another message, actually. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to move on to be speaking to you about other things, but God keeps putting this message on my heart because some of you aren't listening yet. You haven't opened your heart to the Lord and been made right in relationship with the Father. That's where it all starts. So let's get back to Louis and Cynthia. You know, again, if I were to look at any relationship, and I've done a lot of counseling too, if Louis and Cynthia were to have come into my office and I were to have heard this story, I wouldn't give them this face when they were there with me. I would have shaken their hands and had a prayer with them and sent them on their way. But I tell you, a lot of red flags here. Not good, not a good sign. Not, if any relationship wasn't going to make it, it was this relationship. If anybody wasn't going to make it in their life, Louis was the guy. Let me tell you, a lot of things going against him, okay? But God had other plans. God had other plans. So Cynthia was going to church with a friend. And one day, an evangelist showed up in town by the name of Billy Graham. And so her friend invited her to go along with her to the Billy Graham crusade. And as she heard the message that Billy preached, and you know the message that he would preach, she decided to go down the sawdust trail and to receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She realized in her life, hey, you know what? I really have nothing to lose. In fact, my life is basically a mess right now. My life is falling apart. I'm looking at the door. I need the Lord. And so she went and she said, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. You know, I need you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And will you please take the mess that is my life? I'm glad to give it to you. You ever been there before? I'm glad to give you this mess. You got it. It's all in your hands. And please do with me what you will. That's what she did. And the Lord honored her prayer that day. The Lord touched her. And when she came home, Louis said, immediately I noticed something different about her. She was a different woman when she came back from that crusade because God touched her. Never underestimate the power of your prayer. Never underestimate that God, how much God is listening to you and waiting to answer it. Never underestimate that. And so as she came back home, she spoke of a peace and a joy in her heart. And she said to Louis, because of my conversion, I'm not going to divorce you. Wow. Now that is God. Could you imagine being able to say that to somebody who just recently was strangling you on your bed? That is a God thing. So let's break this down about what's happening, because remember what I shared earlier. God's love heals relationships through reconciliation. That's how God does it. So God healed Cynthia's relationship with him as she confessed her sins and received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. The vertical relationship was reconciled and healed. But God wasn't done yet. Remember, God always starts with the vertical, our relationship with him, and then it goes horizontal. It always goes horizontal. And so then God spoke to Cynthia, guess what? You're not leaving Louis. It's going to be me and you working on Louis now. That's what happened. It was God and Cynthia working on Louis. And my money's on God and Cynthia. Just know that. You got somebody praying for you with God in their corner, you might as well just get on your knees and get it done with, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so she continued to ask Louis then to go to the crusade, because Billy was only in town for so long. And he went. But when they got to the part of the prayer, he left because, again, his PTSD, the things he was struggling with. He also, in a way, he blamed God. He wondered why God let him go through all the garbage he went through. You ever been there before? Yeah, we all have. Every human being has. But she was persistent. She invited him back again to another time in the crusade, and he went back. And then Billy shared something. He shared about people at the end of their rope. And Louis remembered the POW camp, adrift at sea, and his promise to God. If you get me home alive, I'll seek and serve you for the rest of my life. You ever made a promise to God? I've been a priest for a number of years. I can't tell you how many promises I've heard from people in relationship to God. Oh, Father Joe, if God does this, I'm going to go to church every week. You know what, Father Joe, if God does this, I'm actually going to get radical and I'm going to start reading my Bible and even praying a little bit. You can't even begin to imagine the promises that I've heard people make to God. But I understand it because sometimes when you're really in a fix, when you're really in a jam, you'll do anything, right? You'll do anything. And so in that moment, he remembered his promise. It was God's perfect timing, and it broke his heart. It just broke his heart, which is exactly what Louis needed in that moment. And he got on his knees before God, and he gave his life to Christ. He goes on to share, I forgave all my guards in that moment, and I knew I was done smoking, drinking, and chasing women. The miracle that happened that night was my nightmare stopped for the first time in years. I haven't had one since, and my PTSD was completely healed. Now, there's a lot of miracles in this that are going on, but if any of you have ever worked with anybody with PTSD, one of the miracles is it just doesn't go away. Usually, you continue to struggle with it. Maybe there's a reduction, but you continue to go to counseling. But in a moment, he was healed. And then God went on to use Louis to witness to a lot of youth and be a witness for Christ throughout the rest of his days. And Cynthia and Louis were faithful to their marriage as long as they were alive. What a miracle. What a mighty thing that God did. Isn't it an amazing story? And some of us last week watched Unbroken, Path to Redemption. We have it in our library. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Again, it just puts in pictures and in video form this incredible miracle. But you know, part of what I want to say here today is, what about you? What about me? I want that for us now. I want that for you. I want God to move in your life that way. I want God to move in your family and your friends that way, and even in the lives of your enemies. I want God to touch people here today that have had a hard heart toward him for whatever reason. Your eyes just kind of glaze over when somebody starts talking about Jesus. I know because I see it. I'm glad you're here, but your eyes just kind of glaze over. And I just want to say to you, the Lord loves you. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. And I want to invite you to move from that glaze, that haze, that fog that you've been in for so long, and to wake up. Somebody died on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead, and this message is for you. He wants to bring healing to your life. He wants to bring you out of your addictions to freedom. He wants to bring reconciliation in your relationships. He wants to go to the places where you gave up a long time ago and show you that he's still a God that can work a miracle even in your life, even at this moment. God's love heals relationships through reconciliation. Time to come to the cross. Time to be reconciled to God. This is your moment. Whether it's the first time you're being reconciled to him, or you've known him for a while and you need to come to the cross to receive even more grace. I truly believe this. God wants to give you a miracle today. To dispense it, to give it, to impart it in this moment. And that you might see it through the rest of this week. That you might see God touch and move in a mighty way.